the only female host at CBS Sports Radio, as one of the only solo female hosts in the entire country. We have done an excellent job in highlighting some of the women in sports who not only are pioneers and trailblazers, but who are changing the narrative. Sarah Thomas, first female official who ever worked a Super Bowl. I was so nervous but excited for that interview, and now she's a friend. Jennifer King, first full-time black woman to have an assistant coaching position in the NFL. Adia Barnes, who's not only an alum of Arizona, but took over that program and guided her team to its first ever Final Four and then into the championship game where the Wildcats nearly upset Stanford. Mendoza, Vashti Cunningham, Jennifer Rosati, Ann Myers Drysdale, Megan Griffith, Lindsay Rhodes, Cynthia Freeland, Amy Trask, Amy Dash. What a roster of impressive women in the sports world. I'm so pleased that our show gives them a platform to be candid and open and honest. And I'm also really grateful that they all agreed to come on the show to talk to me, to share their insights and their experiences, their perspectives with our audience.
I am no match.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Lindsay Rhodes, a repeat guest here on the show, and all of those incredible women, many of them pioneers and trailblazers, are pleased to give them a platform here. Just a caveat, of course, we put that open together. Jay put it together before Maggie Gray joined the network. She used to be on our New York affiliate. Actually, when we started the network, she was here doing Saturday mornings. I remember she used to follow me in on Saturday mornings, and then she moved over to our New York affiliate, WFAN, and has recently come back. So when we put that open together, it was not meant as a slight to Maggie. We just did not have her here on the network at the time. So now there are two of us female full-time hosts, and should be more. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Do you need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can. Thank you for sending your kind words about our interviews and our podcast. And Lindsay's she's so well known. She's such a great voice, and she's so measured. Now, with me, she laughs a lot, and it's good because that's what I'm looking for, is fun, entertaining. But when I hear her host an hour plus on her show, it seems like she never makes a mistake. And they don't tape. They don't pre-produce. Nah, her stuff is live, and she's such a incredible example of not only being prepared, but maintaining a pace where she's measured and she's calculated and she keeps you engaged. I'm a bit of a spaz where I'm all over the place. I speed up and then I slow down, and sometimes I raise my voice and sometimes I get quiet. I just keep you on your toes. That's the deal. But as some of you listeners tell me, the energy, which I'll be honest, sometimes the energy is running me and not the other way around. The energy is what you tell me keeps you going, either overnight while you are working, driving, or if you're waking up super early on a weekday morning. So we have a lot of people who work in radio or TV who are on their way to their morning shows or their morning broadcasts and listening to us. I've been able to connect with a bunch of people, producers, hosts, anchors, meteorologists, sports people, just all over the country, people who are heading to their jobs, their early morning jobs. And so it's funny because they say to me, oh my gosh, you have so much energy early morning. And I still think of this as late night, because when I start work, it's 7 p.m. or 8 p.m. or 9 p.m. And so it still feels like a late night to me, not an early morning. But whatever the case, we are happy to keep you company. And yes, we're always thrilled when we have significant, groundbreaking women on the show. I think their voices are so unique. We could add Becky Sauerbrunn to the list as well. If you remember, the captain of USA Women's Soccer joined us right before they qualified for the upcoming World Cup and the Olympics. She was down at CONCACAF in Mexico. And so the list goes on, and we're thrilled with that. Let's see. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, as I say, on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Our YouTube channel has seen a lot of traffic over the last 24 hours as you were checking out the video version of Ask Amy Anything. When Jay returns, I hope that he is thrilled with the number of new subscribers, the number of likes that we've seen on our page, and the various videos that feature him, of course. The videos that feature him are the ones that you like the most. So on our YouTube channel, it's also named after the show. Easy to find. And our phone number, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Sometimes when I wake up in the middle of the day, people ask me when I sleep. Generally, I try to sleep 8:30 to 3:30 or 4 in the afternoon. It doesn't always happen. I suck at sleep. I blame my mom. I do have major sleep issues, as does she. Though our issues are actually different. Her problem is she can't fall asleep. I don't really have trouble falling asleep. The problem is I don't stay asleep. And when I wake up, I can't get back to sleep. So that's what happened on Wednesday afternoon. It's compounded when I pick up my phone. If I didn't pick up my phone, I might get back to sleep a lot quicker or more easily. But I do pick up my phone, and sometimes it's text messages, sometimes it's work emails, sometimes it's a news alert on my phone. This is what happened on Wednesday. Now, it's not the only thing that happened. I had some text messages when I woke up, and they got my brain to churn in. But then, like a dummy, instead of putting the phone down after reading the text messages, what do? I decide, well, I'll check out sports headlines. And this is what I see on the CBS Sports app. Are you ready? KD has decided that the Celtics are a desired landing spot. Haven't we already been around this mountain? Didn't the Celtics offer a package that included Jaylen Brown, as well as Derek White, I think at the time, but a role player, plus draft picks or picks. And I think initially it was a single first round pick, but could be some flexibility there. Brooklyn, when negotiating with the Celtics, however active the negotiations were, however extended they were, wanted not just Jaylen Brown, but the defensive player of the year, the Celtics point guard, Marcus Smart, and multiple draft picks. So that's the chasm that separated the two franchises. We did an entire show. Well, we did a show question, and I think we did the majority of a show. A lot of you called in about the idea of KD going to Boston and whether or not, if you're the Celtics, you would trade Jaylen Brown, et cetera, to bring in an older KD. Yes, he still has 4 years remaining on his contract extension. In fact, it's just barely kicked in. That's how nutso this is. Just barely kicked in. And so the 4 years of control are huge. But it seemed as though the talks had broken down between Brooklyn and Boston. Until just recently, there's a brand new report. Is it an old report or a new report? It's a new report from SNY, which is a local New York network. Actually, I've done some basketball games for SNY for a few years. Ian Begley put this report out on SNY on Wednesday. Durant now views Boston as a, quote, desirable landing spot. And here's one reason. Although, you want to talk about irony. Oh my gosh. This drama just drives me up a wall. See what I mean about being a spaz? I'm definitely being a spaz over this. Just follow me here, okay? Durant, according to Ian Begley, views Boston as a, quote, desirable landing spot, end quote. And here's one reason why. Because the Celtics coach, Ime Udoka, was an assistant in Brooklyn during that 2021 season before he took the Celtics job. Now, that was a year that was really, really heavily under COVID protocols. And I know they still had some COVID challenges and health and safety protocols this season, which did actually keep the commissioner away from the NBA finals. And we saw coaches that were out, players for sure. But it was worse during 2021. Ime Udoka was on the staff in Brooklyn, working under Steve Nash. So let me get this straight. Let me just make sure I'm smelling what you're stepping in, KD. You want to go to Boston, or at the very least, you'll consider Boston. It's desirable. And one reason why is because of the head coach who was an assistant under Steve Nash, who you don't want to play for anymore. Am I missing something? Anything? It sounds like LeBron James. Do you remember when LeBron was trying so desperately to get David Blatt fired in Cleveland and he wanted Ty Lue to be promoted? That's what he wanted. Actually, he initially wanted Mark Jackson to get the job. When Cleveland's ownership said hell to the gnaw, he decided, okay, well, I'll just ignore David Blatt until it's an untenable situation, and then we'll get Ty Lue promoted. But Ty Lue was the guy, the assistant coach, that he wanted to be the head coach, and ultimately he got what he wanted. So here's maybe a similar situation, although KD doesn't have a whole lot of pull in Boston, obviously. But he would be happy playing with Ime Udoka, just not the guy that hired Ime Udoka. All right. Or I guess it makes me think of Houston, where David Culley is offered up as the sacrificial lamb. They hire him for 1 year. I mean, almost nobody would take the job, right? They hire him for 1 year to lead the Texans. Texans play really hard for him. And then what does he do? He puts all the pieces in place. Davis Mills plays well. They actually win a couple games late in the season, but the Texans fire him and hire his defensive coordinator. I don't get it. Nope, don't get it. So there's some irony here. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Granted, he could have a better relationship with Udoka than he could or did or would or should with Steve Nash. I don't know, because Steve Nash was the one that he and Kyrie wanted initially. Yeah, I don't know either. Don't ask me. Something else, and I don't know that this matters much because whatever. These guys played together on All-Star teams. They certainly played together on USA teams. But he and Jason Tatum did play together during the 21 Olympics. Now, he also played with Kyrie, some of these different squads, and that was his boy, a guy that he wanted to play with. I mean, the whole thing is just yikes. Did you guys see the headline about Kyrie, by the way, who has been relatively quiet? I want to make sure I get the quote right on this so that I have, I'm not just pulling it out of thin air. So that's why I'm typing right now so I can get the credit for this. So Kyrie, through his agent, okay, that's where it came from. Kyrie Irving's agent was responding to the report about KD's ultimatum. You can have me and I'll stay, which, how do we even know he's being genuine about that? I'll stay for 2 more months and then I'll ask for a trade again. He will stay if the Nets, Joe Tsai, the owner, fires the coach and the GM. So in the wake of that report, which was confirmed by multiple sources, and then Joe Tsai himself uses Twitter to give the, I don't know if it's a dreaded vote of confidence or just a vote of confidence, but a vote of confidence to his management and his coaching staff he does that seemingly saying, well, I've made my choice. Choose you this day whom you will serve. I've made my choice. I'm on the side of management and coaching. And so then Kyrie's camp comes out. This is really, I just want to read you. This is really funny, actually. It's from Larry Brown Sports. If you guys ever checked out that website, it's got sports news, but it's also got a twist. They add some pop culture and some goofy stuff to it, too. Kyrie Irving is trying to cleanse the negative energy surrounding him in the press right now. That's the first line from this Larry Brown Sports column by Darren Albert. I like that line. It sucked me in. And this comes from the New York Post. That's where they nabbed this report about Kyrie. That he supposedly hates Steve Nash and Sean Marks as well. So it's not just Kevin Durant, but the New York Post is reporting that Kyrie hates the coach and the GM. But right after that report came out in the New York Post, Kyrie's camp said no way. His agent, who's actually his stepmom, responded to the Post, I am not sure where this narrative is coming from, but Kyrie does not hate Steve nor Sean. Here's my favorite part. That's not a part of his being, nor how he represents himself in the world. He's about peace, love, and acceptance. I guess you can see where Kyrie gets it from. Kyrie is about peace, love, and acceptance. I mean, he didn't get the long-term contract extension he wanted, and so he was looking for a trade to L.A. Let's be honest, he wouldn't still be in Brooklyn if he had gotten the trade to L.A. because he wanted peace, love, and acceptance with LeBron and the Lakers. The whole thing is just, it's weird. It's like whack-a-mole. One problem pops up and you whack it on the head. Well, not literally, because that would be against the law. It would be assault or battery. You whack the mole on the head and something else pops up. Right? So initially it was Kyrie and the long-term contract extension. Then it was Kyrie not having a trade partner. Then it was out of the blue Kevin Durant asking for a trade. Then it's Kevin Durant with the ultimatum. Then it's the New York Post report about Kyrie hates his coach and his GM. Then it's no, he doesn't. He's got peace, love, and acceptance. Now it's KD is desirable about Boston. Oh my gosh. Do you understand why I call the Brooklyn Nets the Cleveland Browns of the NBA? Producer Jay gets so mad when I say that. He actually makes faces at me. He gets so upset. And then he admits that the truth hurts. I'm just saying, if the shoe fits, I mean, these guys have all got shoe lines, so the shoe fits. Oh, yeah. Just, the whole thing's messy and icky and gross and not a good look for the NBA. I mean, there's a lot of things the NBA does that don't offer great optics. But one of your top players, a two-time NBA Finals MVP, he wants out of a situation where he's got a 4-year contract. Unless the coach and the GM get fired. Could you imagine if Brooklyn did that? What? Oh, man. That may be the next mole to pop up. But I hope Brooklyn whacks that one on the head. Again, not figuratively, not literally. All right. These were actual, literal tears from one of the best known athletes in the United States of America, though she was north of the border, but it could literally be the R word and not figurative. No more speech where you kind of wonder, what does that mean? No, it was pretty definitive from Serena Williams on Wednesday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Deep left, Vaughn Grissom back to the monster. How about that? Vaughn Grissom, welcome to the big leagues. A homer over the monster onto Lansdowne Street. And the 21-year-old is floating around the base paths right now. What a night.
I didn't feel a thing. I didn't feel one thing. No, I hit it. I literally blacked out until I saw my first base coach, and we made locked eyes, and I just started laughing. I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this actually paid off. I was just super shocked. It was just, what a moment, you know? I didn't know what to think except, wow.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Fantastic. You can hear the joy and certainly the wow factor in the voice of Vaughn Grissom and the laugh, too. I suppose that's all appropriate. Just kidding. Totally appropriate. I might have done the same thing. I might have passed out myself if I hit a ball over the Green Monster at Fenway Park for not only my first big league hit, but my first big league home run. And so he was clapping and he was excited, and certainly his teammates were as well. Vaughn Grissom, 21-year-old prospect called up by the Atlanta Braves, and he homers onto Lansdowne Street in Boston. He also singled and scored another run, and so the Braves were able to double up the Red Sox 8-4. But this is the Braves' top prospect, and what a moment. What a welcome to the majors. Welcome to the big leagues, rookie. He said that was like a we made it moment, I guess. A we did it type of feeling. And he got called up just earlier in the day on Wednesday from the AA level. And at 21 years old, he went hitless in his first two at-bats. But then seventh inning, boom, out of Fenway Park, and you hear the call there with Jeff Arnold. No, I'm sorry, not Jeff Arnold. On Braves radio. Remind me, who is the play-by-play for the Braves? What? I'm so sorry. The name escaping me right now. That's right. Ben Ingram. Thank you. So we have a lot of different play-by-play that we use, obviously. I apologize for getting those mixed up. Jeff is with the Baltimore Orioles. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. There's a big crowd there in Boston, 35,000 plus, but a lot of them are Braves fans. And that was the experience that I had, too, when I was there a few weeks ago. And the number of Blue Jays fans that were making noise at Fenway Park was pretty incredible. So good for Vaughn Grissom, a night to remember at Fenway. Because you can imagine what it'll be like when he is home in Atlanta at Truist Park and he has an opportunity to play in front of a full capacity crowd of Braves fans. Braves right now are still looking up, up, up at the New York Mets, who've won 6 in a row and 8 of their last 10. It's a 7-game gap for the World Series champions. However, they do have that number one wild card spot with a healthy margin over the Phillies, also in the NL East. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Glad to have you with us. Hope you enjoyed that conversation with Lindsay Rhodes. A little outside the box, doing outside the box things this week, twisty things this week. So the Ask Amy Anything version that we had on our hump shows, like none we've ever done before, and then having a special guest stay for the better part of an hour is also not something that I do a lot, nor will I do probably again this year, maybe again for another 10 years, but it was great to talk to Lindsay. Vaughn on Bally Sports South, and then again on Braves Radio, his home run for his first big league hit. I'm going to pivot here because north of the border, so farther north than Boston, north of the border in Toronto, Serena Williams was competing in a tournament. And we had told you that she had won her first match in over a year at this tournament earlier in the week. And so here she is competing, and in between the match that she won and the match that she played on Wednesday, her Vogue essay comes out. And the buzz surrounding her pretty strong suggestion that she will retire after the U.S. Open, which is late summer, early fall. So then she gets back on the court in Toronto in the wake of the stir created by Vogue, and she loses. It's a straight set loss to Belinda Bencic. This is the National Bank Open, by the way, in Toronto. At least the fans had an opportunity to share their appreciation, to cheer for her, to give her a couple of standing ovations. They encouraged her throughout the match. And there were some big moments for her. Some of those signature power moves, as well as her yells that she'll let off after a big point. And this is, theoretically, a tune-up for the U.S. Open because it's hard court there in Toronto. But in that Vogue essay, she said the countdown has begun. And so then she has to take the court and play tennis after not even 24 hours of all the speculation swirling around her words in Vogue.
It was a lot of emotions, obviously. I love playing here. I've always loved playing here. And yeah, it was... I wish I could have played better, but Belinda played so well today. But I just, yeah, it's just been a pretty interesting 24 hours.
Mm. You thought she was emotional then? Well, she got really emotional when she was talking about the fans there in Toronto and the atmosphere and this tournament that could be one of her last.
Thank you. I love y'all. It's just been so memorable, you know. Like I said in my article, I'm terrible at goodbyes, but goodbye. Toronto!
Wasn't quite a mic drop. It's interesting, too, because when I heard it the first time, I've heard it multiple times since, but when I heard it the first time, I thought, goodbye, and then the big pause. Toronto was so that it wouldn't get mistaken as a goodbye, goodbye, as in the R word, goodbye. No, it was goodbye to Toronto. And so she got emotional and she cried and she let the fans know how much she appreciated them as well. Lots of flowers, lots of smiles. She was a 3-time champion at that tournament. And so they know her, they're familiar with her, but mostly now that she has indicated her time is winding down, the countdown has begun, that she wants to have another baby. She wants to do life outside of tennis. Now everywhere she goes, even though she said she didn't want some big farewell tour, everywhere she goes, every opportunity fans have to connect with her and to let her know, at least in part, what she's meant to the sport, to American sports, played by females. And I said this in my last CBS Sports Minute. She's one of the best athletes of the last generation, male or female. And she's changed the sport of tennis over the last 25 years. She and her sister completely redefined what it means to be a tennis player. How they look, how they play, how they're coached. So the sport will never be the same. And the fans, we as fans, will never be the same either. We have tennis and golf. How about that? I actually didn't get to the golf last night because I don't remember why. What were we doing last night that was so important? I mean, important is probably the wrong word. There's not a whole lot about this that's super important here on the show. But we got busy last night, so we didn't have a chance to get to the latest on the LIV Golf Tour. And now that they're gearing up for another PGA event and with the FedEx playoffs on the horizon, there was a court ruling against the LIV, but there is still a lawsuit that's pending. You've got David Faraday talking about how he specifically left for the LIV Tour because they offered him a lot of money. It's just, yes, not going away. The questions for Cam Smith, the Open champion, the champion golfer of the year. So we'll give you the latest there. And they're still talking. Rory, Scottie Scheffler, they're still talking. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You can find me on Twitter at ALawRadio. My phone number is 855. Well, not my phone number. The show phone number, because I wouldn't give you my phone number.
Hey, Amy. It's an honor to talk to you. Thanks for taking my call.
It's an honor to talk to you.
Well, thank you. I've been listening to you for many years. Not to be off topic, but you're doing a great job.
Thank you.
Whenever I can't sleep during the night, I turn the CBS radio on. This program tonight is probably one of the best I think I've ever heard.
Hey, Amy. Always good to talk to you. Love your analysis of everything. Good morning, Amy. A woman with sports. Oh, my goodness.
Boom.
Call Amy at 855-212-4CBS.
That is our phone number. We had a couple of unique exchanges earlier in the show. We have not taken any calls since then, but that's just fine. Lindsay Rhodes was with us for the better part of an hour, which was great. So generous with her time. And there's a variety of other topics that we still have to get to, like Tua. I'm telling you what, I am a big fan of how Tua handles his business. Now, I will say this, and Lindsay and I talked about it last hour. With the moves the Dolphins have made, the pieces they put around Tua, not to mention the brand new head coach who's considered an offensive guru, an offensive savant, if you will. If Tua doesn't make major strides forward this season, well, that's on Tua. That's an indictment of Tua. He needs to. This is the opportunity. They've set him up. There will be no excuses if they don't see a big jump in the quality of the offense and certainly the quarterback play. So this is the year. But Tua handles all the rumors and speculation, even the reports, like a champ. So I'll get to that coming up here after hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Even as the golf world turns into the FedEx Cup playoffs, and I would say the conversation around the LIV Tour has died down a bit. Not completely, but since the majors are done and these guys are not in a tournament this weekend, right? The Bedminster tournament was the last one. Henrik Stenson, he was kind of the headline. And then there is a lawsuit being filed by the LIV Tour and the LIV golfers against the PGA Tour for the suspensions. So that's one. That's one legal avenue that's been taken. But three of the LIV golfers, Taylor Gooch, Matt Jones, and Hudson Swafford, they actually wanted to play in the first leg of the FedEx Cup playoffs, which is this weekend, the FedEx St. Jude Championship taking place in Memphis. So they sue to get into the field, the playoff field, but a federal judge in California denies them a restraining order so that the suspensions would have been lifted in order for them to compete in this tournament. Right, so they wanted a restraining order. They wanted to stay. They didn't get it. In essence, they've been blocked from participating in the playoffs. Rory McIlroy is the self-appointed defender of the PGA Tour. He's been very vocal from start to finish about this process. And while some golfers talked early but haven't talked since, some golfers gave us one point and one stance and then flipped and took the money. Rory has remained pretty consistent, and he really just wants the focus to go back to the PGA Tour. He wants it to be like it was before.
From my vantage point, common sense prevailed, and I thought it was the right decision. And now that that has happened, I think it just lets us focus on the important stuff, which is the golf, and we can all move forward and not sort of have not have that sideshow going on for the next few weeks, which is nice.
I know some guys aren't surprised to see it, but I definitely am surprised to see some guys now suing us. And you know, I'm interested, and you know, if they win, you know, come out here and play. I mean, that's something that's up to the courts. I can't control what's going to happen in a court case, you know, and so definitely interested. But at the end of the day, it has no effect on, you know, my preparation for the week.
So you not only have Rory McIlroy, who says common sense prevails, but then Scottie Scheffler, who says, yeah, I'm surprised, but I'm going to go do what I'm going to do. And so ultimately, as much as we see all these guys together, it's an individual sport, and they're individual entities. And sure, they know each other, but they're so caught up in their preparation. They're so caught up in what they're doing that they're almost in bubbles during tournaments, especially when it comes to the big money that's offered around the FedEx playoffs. So two separate legal routes. The first was the three players who tried to get their suspensions lifted so they could participate in this week's tournament and the FedEx Cup playoffs. And then 11 players, including Phil Mickelson and Bryson DeChambeau, who filed an antitrust lawsuit against the PGA Tour, and that was in federal court last week. Some guys say it's personal to them, like a Justin Thomas. But for now, LIV Golf and PGA Tour Golf remain separate, and the PGA's power has not been shut down. The PGA's ability and power to suspend these guys has not been curbed or reined in. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Now, Cam Smith, who's the Open champion, British Open champion, he's an Australian golfer, and he's been on record as saying that Greg Norman is his idol. And Greg Norman, one of the greatest, if not the greatest, Australian golfer of all time. And he's indicated that it's one of the reasons why he plays golf. And so Cam Smith, who's tried to, and I understand this, avoid and sidestep the questions of him taking off to LIV Golf, has continued to face the questions because he won't squash them. You remember the whole Brooks Koepka situation at the U.S. Open where he was vague in his answer about LIV Golf? And then, was it 2 weeks later? Maybe it was 3 days later, whatever it was, after the U.S. Open comes the announcement that he's defecting to this other tour. So now Cam Smith is facing the questions. He's the number two ranked player in the world, and he's been linked to this league because of Greg Norman. And so he continues to face the questions about whether or not he's going to stay with the PGA Tour or jump to the LIV Tour.
You being a man of your word, you know, the Telegraph is reporting that you've signed and are going. Would you like to say yes or no to that?
I have no comment to that. Like I said, I'm here to play the FedEx Cup playoffs. That's been my focus the last week and a half. That's what I'm here to do. I'm here to win the FedEx Cup playoffs. It'll come from me. It won't come from Cameron Percy.
So he responds there, but only to say that the announcement would come from him personally, that right now he's focused on the FedEx Cup playoffs. Not that different from what Brooks Koepka said. Now, I don't know whether or not Cam is jumping. He did call himself a man of my word. But if he's given his word to LIV Golf that he will make the jump once the FedEx Cup playoffs are over, well, you can take that any way that you want it. But he's definitely been dogged by these rumors over and over, only saying that any announcement will come from him, and right now he's focused on the playoffs, similar to what Koepka said. Right now I'm focused on the U.S. Open, and you guys are ruining it for me. Remember that? It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Now, while we're talking about athletes being dogged by rumors, it's a very easy transition to get to Tua Tagovailoa. I mean, think about the number of times his team has tried to upgrade at QB since he got drafted. Now, granted, he's spent some time being injured, so he's left the door wide open. But didn't the Dolphins go after Deshaun Watson 3 times? Initially, when he asked for the trade from Houston, then again, when the trade deadline came up middle of last season, if you remember, Stephen Ross actually had a conversation with Deshaun, but because the lawsuits weren't settled, the Dolphins were not comfortable. Oh, that makes them uncomfortable. Okay. And then once there were no criminal charges filed, the Dolphins were part of that group of teams that tried to get Deshaun to pick me, pick me, pick me. And then the latest with Tua and the Dolphins is the fact that Stephen Ross has been fined and punished for tampering by making overtures to Tom Brady. Okay. Lots of outside noise, and yet Tua handles this so well. He rises above as he's going back and forth with reporters.
I think they were doing that in 2019, but then I came in 2020. So I mean, they picked me. So I mean,
pick me.
Yeah,
it was 2020.
So 2020, it's 2022. I mean, I'm still here. So yeah. So I mean, I'm still here. To me, that's all noise at this point.
I'm still here. What is the old adage? Okay, I'm terrible at cliches. Possession is 9/10 of the law. Isn't that the cliche? He's possessing the QB1 spot. Possession is 9/10 of the law. So he's right. I'm still here. I still got the seat. The spot is still mine. Now, Tua and the Dolphins, as if it might not have come up anyway. Of course, it was going to come up. But Tua and the Dolphins are doing joint practices with the Buccaneers and Brady on Wednesday. And then they've got it again on Thursday before they have their preseason opener coming up this weekend in Tampa. So it comes, I know the NFL couldn't have rigged that, but it comes right up after Stephen Ross and the Dolphins get disciplined for tampering and trying to reach Brady when he was with the Patriots in 19 and then with the Bucks after that. It's just from the category of you can't make this stuff up. Oh, hi, Tua. It's Tom. How are you? Oh, my goodness. The NFL never fails to deliver. But good for you, Tua. He rises above. I'm still here. I still got the job. So zip it. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.